shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night from 10 to 1 on the West Coast, 1 to 4 on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Welcome to our program. And tonight we're going to have Reverend Dave Castorini on to discuss what he calls the continued secular influence on our young people vis-a-vis these questions regarding evolution. We're going to be talking to him about that. And we also have some stories on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and rehab visits. So we're probably going to have Margaret Gray or Bobby Dooley in to talk about that one this evening. We want to remind you that we're online at philhendryshow.com on Phil TV and HD, and we're going to start doing our football Sundays again. That will be the late game on Sunday. So if you join us on Phil TV and HD on Sundays for probably either the second game or for the evening game, and we'll let you know on the website. And then Bobby Dooley's blog, is that right, Bud?
Yeah, she's going to start the Bobby Dooley blog, going to be daily.
Okay, so the Bobby Dooley blog is also daily at philhendryshow.com. So a lot of stuff going on over there. And you need a backstage pass, but once you get the backstage pass, well, then you can say you have the backstage pass, you know. And
yeah, you can be a, it feels good.
Feels good to have one. Thank you, Robert. And even better than it feeling good, it actually does something. You can access our archives and our video cast and so forth. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Reverend Dave Castorini is joining us from Phoenix, Arizona this evening. And first of all, Dave, how are you tonight?
Phil, I'm doing really good.
You were in Indianapolis earlier in the week, or earlier last week, talking with the organizers of a new exhibit at the Indianapolis Zoo?
Well, yes. It's a new exhibit that's opening at the Indianapolis Zoo. It's an orangutan exhibit. We spoke to some of the key supporters of this. It's about a $20 million exhibit there in Indianapolis. And there's 4 acres of exhibit space there. It also has... at the heart of this 64-acre property, which is the Indianapolis Zoo, it's an exhibit that will include an all-season atrium. They have 90-foot ceiling, a jungle gym, and it's very friendly, I think, child-friendly, I should say, and family-friendly for people to go and to look at these animals that are fascinating for human beings. And they're not only fascinating for human beings, I think they are a way of sending a message that I think is a destructive message to our young people. And that's why we went to Indianapolis and spoke with some of the people who have been key in making this money available.
Well, you don't think that this exhibit should open. Isn't that the crux of this?
We don't think the exhibit should open in its present state, and I'll tell you why. Phil, our youth ministry, and we have been in existence now for 11 years, and we have ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to some 3 million young people. We feel that we have been instrumental in bringing to Jesus Christ some 2 million of those young people that we have ministered to. We believe that these kinds of exhibits are a secular way to entice our young people away from the basic message of the Bible, which is that God made man in his image. God did not make us in the image of an animal. He made us in the image of God Almighty. We are the reflection of the eternal. And this exhibit, like so many others, we were in San Diego when they opened the gorilla exhibit that they had, is a very insidious way of getting young people especially to accept the message of so-called evolution.
All right, so this is at the very crux of this.
I don't think there's anything. We're not trying to hide anything here, Phil.
I know that, but this is at the very crux of your opposition to this orangutan exhibit. And again, you mentioned that this is not the first all over America, all over the world. Zoos feature exhibits, primate exhibits, that are very popular with human beings because the primate often, the primate animal is so reflective of our own behavior, at least physical.
Well, and I think that is the alluring part of this, and I think it's the reason why there is so much fascination. They are, in their own way, the primates, these orangutans, or gorillas, chimpanzees, they are, as animals, pretty close in terms of mannerism, physical mannerism. They have a way of mimicking human behavior, of looking at humans and then turning that around and entertaining us, much the same way a parakeet will hear a human voice and then repeat what the human says or a minor bird. I can remember going into my very first dentist when I was a little boy growing up in Scottsdale, Arizona. My mother would take me to a dentist and had a minor bird in the office, and this minor bird was so accurate in how this bird mimicked the human voice. He mimicked the voice of the receptionist, and it was so funny because I would hear the receptionist's voice. And of course, I would get up and think that it was time for me to go in to see the doctor, or think she was saying something. It was actually the minor bird.
And well, I think you may be. Well, I don't. You know, I'm not a scientist, but I think you might be misapplying that to chimpanzees. I don't think that they're mimicking humans. I think that's their basic mannerism.
Well, I think what you have to do, Phil, is open your mind a little bit. I think you've been told a lot of things by science because science wants you to believe that this is organic to the chimpanzee and that somehow one can imagine human beings at one time looking like a chimpanzee, looking like an orangutan, and behaving like them because look at how they behave now, so obviously. And I don't think that we've given enough thought to the what I think is a very much more likely scenario, that they mimic what they see. So
in other words, the chimpanzee is much more like a parrot, a minor bird, some of these animals that you say mimic the qualities of human voice, for instance. A chimpanzee or an orangutan, in this case, mimics human behavior. And you're saying we're told it's organic because the evolutionists, you know.
Well, exactly. I think that we've gone so far away from God's message. And that we have allowed God's message to be polluted with a kind of science babble. So people will say, oh, look at the chimpanzee, the orangutan. Look at how they behave. They look so human. And, of course, my response is, of course they look human. They're mimicking the behavior of the humans that are standing there outside. For instance, the exhibit area could be a zoo. It could be some kind of a primate exhibit area. They're mimicking the behavior of people. And why are they doing that? So a human will throw them a peanut or throw them a banana or something like this. So when we go, Phil, and I talk to some of the supporters of the Indianapolis Zoo or the orangutan exhibit there, and also the Washington, D.C., the National Zoo had opened up a primate house some 6-7 years ago. We were there protesting that. And
What are you saying when you protest? Are you saying don't open up these, you don't want these?
We don't want these exhibits unless the true story of the primate is told to humans, because we're told every time one of these exhibits opens up, the message is the same. Do you see man's connection to this animal? Do you see that we did evolve from an animal like this? We did evolve. We did not come from God directly in the Garden of Eden, as the Bible tells us. We did not come from Adam and Eve, as the Bible tells us. We evolved from these apes. Do you see that is the case here? And all over America, I think that message is the same.
Well, are you talking about a conspiracy here? Are you talking about...
Well, it's not a conspiracy. I think it's just the way that these scientists think. I think it's their way, especially when you get a lot of the schools and the field trips, and they bring the kids. And I know that the Indianapolis Public Schools are planning a great many field trips to the new zoo to see this orangutan exhibit. Obviously, it's a big event. It's a $20 million project. It's a large exhibit.
That stands to reason that you're going to bring the kids to see this. It's part of their science.
Well, it's part of their indoctrination into evolution. That's the part that we don't like. And
Reverend Pastorini, that evolution is taught in schools. And by the way, we're talking to...
Yes, I do.
All right, hold on. We're talking to Reverend David Castorini of the Castorini Youth Ministries about the new orangutan exhibit at the Indianapolis Zoo and how he feels this is the insidious way that the secularists get kids to believe in evolution. You know that evolution is taught at high schools. It's taught in public schools. It's taught as science in our universities.
No, I'm aware of all of that.
Okay, so it's not like nobody is trying to sneak it in, you know?
No, they're not trying to sneak it in, but what they're doing is outside of the classroom, outside of the public school, outside of the outside of the public arena of education, and beyond the reach of their parents, these kids are getting the evolution message hammered home, and hammered home almost not on a daily basis, perhaps, but every chance they get. So that by the time a young person reaches high school or reaches college, they're not only believers in the theory of evolution. They've lost some of their belief in the spark of God and man. And
you really think so? You think so? In other words, if a devout Christian who believes in what you believe, the story of Eden, creationism, however you want to put it.
Well, yes, we do believe that. We believe that God in every man is the spark of God that began in the Garden of Eden.
Okay, all right, fine. That a devout Christian can believe that and still at the same time understand the theories, if you wish, of evolution, how it is understood, so that they can get a degree in science. Because if they don't grasp these things, they're not going to be graduating with any kind of science degree.
Phil, I know a great many biologists that are creationists. Okay.
I'm sure that you do, and in fact, I know a couple. But they recognize they have to understand certain science that's taught.
Well, I don't think that's true. I don't think I don't know what you mean by science. It's a theory. And we believe that you can be a valid biologist, you can be a valid zoologist, you can be an animal behaviorist, and still believe in creationism. You don't have to believe. You can believe that man came from the Garden of Eden after Eve ate the apple from the snake, and they had lots and lots of kids from only the two of them, and there was incest. There had to have been. You can believe all of that and still get a degree in science. So what we think is happening right now is the kids are being once again indoctrinated into evolution by going to these monkey exhibits and these orangutan exhibits. We think it's wrong, we think it's destructive, and we want to see it curtailed a bit or scaled back just a bit.
All right, David Castorini is with us from the Castorini Youth Ministries in Phoenix, Arizona. His concern is this, and this is opening this week. It's in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's the new orangutan exhibit there, a $20 million 4-acre exhibit that he feels is one more attempt by secularists to convince young kids evolution is the actual reality of life. And that actually these primate houses and these monkey exhibits are the secularists' attempt at showing just how closely connected to these apes we are. That there's just, that's what the message is when you go to the zoo. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-7445. And we'll be back with more from Reverend David Castorini here on the secular message of these orangutan exhibits here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here, along with David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries. And we're talking about the primate houses. I guess we could talk about any zoo that has a primate house, David, you know?
Yes, but it depends, Phil, on the amount of, you see, it depends on the amount of publicity. It depends on how, what kind of a push is on, what is the relationship between that zoo, between that wild animal park, between that animal rescue or shelter or what have you, what is their relationship between the themselves and the scientific community? Some zoos have primate houses the same way they have an elephant exhibit or a lion exhibit or wild birds. But some places have a primate exhibit that is front and center, and you know there is something going on. you know that there is some effort on the part of the scientific community to break through some kind of resistance they're having from the schools as to belief in evolution. And I think that's what's going on in Indianapolis.
Why?
I think Indianapolis has a very well-developed religious community. I think the even in the public schools, it's very well understood that very devoutly Christian families send their children to these public schools in Indianapolis. I think that Indianapolis is unique in that while it does have very good public schools and it has a very good public infrastructure in terms of education and science, they influence their children religiously much, much more than other communities. And so the scientific community of Indianapolis has decided to just go take an orangutan and put that orangutan front and center in front of a kid and say, this is what you used to be. Doesn't matter what Jesus said. Doesn't matter what the Bible said.
And yeah, but you're inferring that from simply an exhibit at a zoo. You're inferring that from...
No, I'm inferring that from a $20 million orangutan exhibit that takes a primate and sticks it right in the face of an Indianapolis school child and says, take a good long look, because that's what you are. That's what I'm inferring, and I think I'm right.
I'm trying to, I'm going through this in my head. I mean, I think you really have to, other than the fact that they've opened up the primate house, I think you would have to have some evidence.
Oh, I thought the evidence, Phil, is all around us in that. Again, I told you, Indianapolis is a very fundamentally sound religious community, protecting their children, even in the face of the public schools. And so the scientific community in Indianapolis, it grates on their nerves. They can't take it any longer. They've got to find themselves an orangutan or a gorilla or something that they can park right in front of a kid and scare that child half to death, telling him, you were an ape. You were an ape. Now repeat after me. I was an ape. I think it's wrong. I think it's destructive. And we're trying to save the school children of Indianapolis and from this happening elsewhere.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is that the message of these zoos, especially these zoos that have these primate houses? Go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm actually from Indianapolis, and I'm also a devout Christian myself. Any zoo I've ever been to, primate-wise, I have never, not once, read or been talked to or said to, this is what you were, this is what you are. I've never received that message whatsoever. Like I said,
Can I ask the young man what his name is, Phil? I did not get this young man's name.
I apologize. I got it and I forgot. What's your name, sir?
Andrew.
It's Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, this is Pastor Castorini. How are you?
Good, you?
I'm very good, thank you. Andrew, when you look, if you've been to a primate house, you've been to the zoos, and you've looked at these monkeys, when you look at that monkey, do you feel as if you're looking into your past? Do you feel as if you've been coerced into enjoying that ape because that ape, they want you to think, was you?
Not at all.
Yes. Not at all?
No.
Well, how many times have you, when you go to a zoo, how many times have you been to a zoo?
Plenty of times.
All right. And you don't go, you go to the ape house, don't you? You go to the primate house, don't you?
Sure.
Okay. The reason we do is because that animal is interesting to look at. And the reason why it's interesting to look at is because it has human mannerisms. You're told that it has human mannerisms because that's the way it was created. But it's really just a mimic trying to suck you in. You see?
Well, I mean, I also look at the sharks and the polar bears.
Well, yeah, but a shark doesn't cross its leg. Yeah, but a shark doesn't scratch its armpits and all the things that a monkey does. So when you look at that monkey, you can't help but say, it looks like me. Or it behaves like me.
Right, but what this young man is saying, while all of that may be true, he doesn't feel as if that's what he used to be.
Well, I think that's hard. I think that's I have a hard time believing that when you look at a monkey scratching its armpits and you don't think that's something that you might have done 5 million years ago looking like that. That's my point.
All right, Andrew, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
At least I hope I didn't look like that.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we go places on Phil TV and HD. If you have a backstage pass, you can watch us tonight on our high-definition video cast, as well as listen to the show this evening on your local Phil Henry Show affiliate. Now, one other thing I wanted to mention to you. In our shop at philhenryshow.com, we have downloads now of our Best of 1994 CD. This is from Miami. This is, we're talking 17 years ago, so some rare stuff there, and you can download the whole CD, or you can download individual cuts, so head over there and grab that. All right, on the line with me, David Castorini. We've got this gentleman, Andrew, calling back, David, with a question. I apologize to him beforehand, Andrew. I couldn't quite formulate your question. David, are you there?
Yes, Phil, I'm right here.
Okay, Andrew? Go ahead and ask your question, sir.
Okay, my question to you, sir, is, you're asking me if when I look at an orangutan or a monkey of whatever sort,
yes, that's correct.
Do I feel that that's what I used to be?
Or my used question, to look like, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
My question to you is, do you feel that's what you used to look like?
I think it's a great question. It's a great question, Andrew. I think the secularists are trying to entice us into believing because that ape that we're looking at, that monkey or what have you, is scratching itself, it's crossing its legs, it's doing all these very human things. I think the secularist is trying to entice us into believing that at one time, you know, Andrew and David Castorini, that's what we were. We were who we are, but we looked like an ape. And when you ask me the question, do I feel I look like that? I believe in Jesus Christ and the message of the gospel and in God the Father. I believe in I believe in God's word when he tells us of the Garden of Eden in Genesis. I believe all of that. But I can feel the tug of that ape. You see?
What do you mean the tug of the ape? What is that?
Well, I can feel the... I see what the allure of the secularist message is, and it's this, that we can still be God's children and look like a baboon. I find that degrading, and yet people are enticed, they are seduced by that message. So to answer your question, there are days when I'm at my lowest, when I feel so disconnected from God, that yes, I do. I go to the zoo, I look at a monkey, and I say, I might as well be that. Sure, I'll buy it. I look like that.
That's an interesting answer. Andrew, did that give you the answer? Does that help you?
Well, you know, Phil, it's an interesting answer. It's a human answer. It's a human answer.
It's a, yeah, I don't know that I've ever...
I was just saying, you know, if he didn't feel that way, I was just wondering how he could think that everybody else would feel that way. Because like I said, I'm a devout Christian myself, and when I look at an ape or a baboon, no, I don't feel that I ever was that or that I do look like that. Like he said earlier, you know, they are mimicking our mannerisms. They are animals.
Do you ever feel that so low that when you go to the zoo, an ape is superior to you? You feel, you know what, I might as well take orders from that ape for all the good it's done me, for all the good life's done me. You ever feel that bad?
No,
that's what I'm talking about, the seduction.
Well, I mean, depression, I understand that.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So you feel, Andrew, so bad some days, you go to the zoo to try to cheer yourself up, to say, well, at least I'm superior to some stinking baboon, but I feel so bad today, that baboon might as well be you know, reading me the riot act. Do you ever feel that way?
No, honestly, I don't. I think you're not necessarily getting confused here, but I mean, they're, like I said, it's an animal, and God puts man in control of animal.
And that's right there. That's a wonderful point you just made, because right there, can you imagine how low a man's got to get to feel that he no longer has control over an animal, that the animal might as well be hiring, firing, and right, CEO?
Well, okay, I can imagine depression. Are you saying depression in the Christian religion is the devil?
No, yes, but the devil is the theory of evolution. And to believe in evolution is to see an ape and say, that ape is, he's got it all over me. Everything that ape is, I'm not. And it's better than me.
In the theory of evolution, then, where
wow.
did the ape come from?
Well, in the theory of evolution, see, what I'm saying is, we came from an ape-like creature. That ape today comes from a different line of hominids. You have to understand what it is the secularists are trying to feed you. They're trying to feed
right.
us a whole fancy dance, you know.
All right, so, Andrew, I don't know that I understand, but if you do...
No, he understands. You don't, Phil, because you're a secularist.
Because I'm a secularist, I don't understand. I understand what you mean by depression. Andrew, does that answer your question for you?
For the most part, yes.
All right, thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over to Travis. Hello, Travis. You're on the Phil Henry Show here with Pastor Castorini.
Hey, how's it going?
I answered his question.
Very good, sir. I think you answered his question.
I could hear a little bit of confusion in his voice. I hope that I was able to help him.
Travis, go ahead, sir.
All right. Well, as far as the primate, monkey, ape, what have you family, humans are most closest to the chimpanzees. As far as where your DNA comes in, yeah, it is, I guess you could say they mimic us, but
they
we
do.
Are, yeah, we are close to the chimpanzee, you know, like I said, as far as DNA.
Well,
and,
I understand that, sir. I mean, that's very interesting. I mean, we can get into discussions of the DNA similarity, but what I'm trying to tell you is any primate conjures in the heart of man a need to feel connected to that creature, because even if it's not a chimpanzee, if it's a baboon, an orangutan, a gorilla, or any of these other lemur, monkey, this kind of thing, they all have human behavior. They have five digits. They scratch themselves.
Yeah.
You can almost,
they have the,
you know what I mean? There you go. You can almost imagine one of them lighting up a cigarette and sitting there and relaxing. With, you know, that's how
well,
human
they
look.
They do that every day, right?
Well, exactly. So when you see one, as I have, when the devil has my soul, I want to say, I wish that ape ran my life, because I'm so lost. I'm lower than an ape. I'm lower than that monkey.
I'm sorry that
What's
you
that?
Feel that way, but, I mean, I'm sorry that you
Have
feel
you never
that
felt
way.
That way? Have you never
no,
felt
I
that
mean,
way? Have you never...
Humans have a strong, strong bond with animals. I mean, that's just one
right.
thing with animals and humans. Like, that is one thing about humans. They have a connection with other animals, some more than others.
Well, of course.
Now,
we've domesticated, yeah, but...
Excuse me for saying this. I remember when I went to the zoo on a field trip, and it may have been... sixth grade or fifth grade. It's the baboon, I think, the one that's got the big blue red butt.
The big blue butt, yeah.
Okay, well, I was too young to know about this at the time, but this monkey was sitting here, excuse me, but was masturbating in front of the glass.
See, that's
a bunch of kids.
Well,
now,
that's the same thing that humans do. And
well,
that's what,
I don't tend to sit in front of a group of people and, you know, do my thing.
No, you don't. But there are perverted human beings that do that. And when we see a baboon do that in front of school kids, there's a dark part of us that recognizes ourselves. And
what are you talking about now?
Phil, I'm talking to this gentleman here. Okay? And
I know you're talking to the gentleman, but what do you mean when a baboon masturbates in front of children, we recognize ourselves?
We see the pervert. in ourselves. Okay? See, the secularist is trying to get us to believe in evolution. And so when a baboon sits there and masturbates in front of kids, you have that feeling in yourself like, boy, that could be me.
No, I have never felt that way.
Yeah, no. Nah.
No.
Well, I'm not saying we've done... No, Travis, I'm not saying, Phil, I'm not saying we've done it. I'm saying that could be me.
No, that could not be me. No.
I think that's human arrogance.
No, Pastor, that's not human arrogance. No, that can't be me. I don't identify with that.
Well, all right. Okay, fine.
Well, that's
opinion. Yeah, that's true.
On to one more thing. I'd like to bring this up.
Well, I mean, when you saw that baboon masturbate in front of those kids, what did you think about the baboon? Did you want to kill it?
No.
Or did you say to yourself, my God, that's me?
No, by far did I say, my God, that's me. I mean,
you did not.
The monkey doesn't know any better. It's not like, you know, he actually knows what he's doing.
Right. Yeah. Apes they have no constraint. Yeah, but there's no constraint there. Yeah. Listen, Travis, great call. Thank you very much, sir. Good point about the DNA, the chimpanzee, and so forth. Thank you, sir, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
I want to say one thing about DNA. They have brought this DNA question into a lot of scientific discussions because we are all fascinated with DNA now. We are in love with DNA. DNA has solved crimes. DNA is able to identify people. We are very much into DNA. We love it. And so why not drop that DNA argument into the chimpanzee reality and say, oh, and one other thing, Mr. and Mrs. Human Being, the chimp and the human, well, we've got the same DNA. We might as well be brother and sister. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine telling human beings? And they're doing it. The secularists are doing it, Phil. They're telling us that the chimpanzee is like a cousin or a nephew.
No, the DNA, they're talking about in terms of the animal kingdom, you know, the connection between different lines of animal. I mean, they found connection between, for instance, the sea lion and wolves.
I don't know what you're talking about there. I'm talking about
the strands of DNA that connects different species. I mean, this is the marvelous thing about DNA that's teaching us. It's taking us almost all the way back to the creation.
And and I've got a lot to say about that, too, because I think that is just black. I think that is black. That is as black as the devil. That is as black.
You think knowledge is as black as the devil?
When it takes us back to the secret of creation, yes, I do.
All right, take a break here. There's a good point to take a break on. When it takes us back to creation, knowledge is blackness. 877-876-PHIL. Pastor David Castorini on the line from the Castorini Youth Ministries. And your phone call is coming up at 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Are you kidding me?
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know what I mean, if I let a monkey do that.
Hold on for just a second here. On the line with me is Reverend David Castorini from the Castorini Youth Ministries. We talk about this all began as a discussion of the Indianapolis Zoo's new orangutan exhibit opening, a $20 million four-acre orangutan exhibit set to open in 2014. And you were in Indianapolis, Reverend Castorini, talking, as you say, to some of the main supporters. You don't want this to open.
We don't want it to open, Phil, in the way they want to open. It's due to open in 2014. We want to keep children as far away from it as we possibly can. I have to be honest with you. I understand that they want to do this, and I guess they're going to do what they want to do. But the very clear secular message of this orangutan expose, this orangutan exhibit, is to get as many school kids to look at it and get the message right away, real clear, and completely unclouded. We're monkeys. We used to be that right there. You're a monkey. I'm a monkey. And that's what we are. And God's message about the Garden of Eden is a big joke. And let's just all go and check out our cousins, the monkeys. Now, that one gentleman who said the DNA of the chimpanzee is like humans, that is just about as wild a thing as I've ever heard, because now I'm supposed to look at a chimpanzee, and I got to think of this thing as some kind of a blood brother?
I don't think that that's it. I mean, you're looking at it completely wrong. You know,
well, what else is DNA but a connection in terms of relation?
No, but you're looking at it. There is a DNA connection between ourselves and monkeys that is more of a sort of a scientific underpinning of species to species. It's not that the thing is our brother or our cousin.
No, I understand that, Phil. But the average person thinks that, and that's the message that keeps getting pounded into the heads of our young people. Not the message of the Garden of Eden. Not the message of God in Genesis, creating the world, creating man, and creating woman in his image. Not the message of, and you know, woman was created not only in God's image, she was created in man's image. So that's been lost. We've got man, we have God, we have man, and then we have, in many ways, kind of a subset, the female, who is the connection between man and the animal world. And that's the other part that... has not been.
I don't understand that one, you know.
Well, that's the other.
All right, well, hold on. Let me get to a phone call here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Bill on the Phil Hendry Show with Pastor Castorina. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
I'm kind of confused the way this pastor's talking. It's like one way he's talking that he agrees that we came from monkeys, and then he turns around
true,
yeah. And... you know, like we're in the image of God. You know, there's only one way that we came, and that was in the image of God. It's in the Bible.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. I don't mean to say that you were talking to
the gentleman earlier, that when you get low and down and the devil's got your soul, you feel like a monkey, or a monkey should rule you. You know, first off, being
don't
a pastor,
you shouldn't be
talking like that.
Well, no, sir. I'm saying I always return to God. I always return to Jesus. I always return to the gospel. I'm never lost from the gospel. And I do that when I am feeling down. I think God
is you're putting it out as the devil's got your soul. You feel so low that a monkey rules you. Okay, first off, being a pastor, you shouldn't be saying that, you know, the devil's got your soul, because once you go towards God and accept God in your soul, the devil can't have you unless you give it
up. You're absolutely right, sir. If I led you to believe that God has lost his grip on my soul, I misspoke. What I meant to say was, when the devil, and there are days, you know, even in the life of Jesus, there are days when the devil stands and the devil tempts. We know this. That's why we say the Lord's Prayer. But on those days, I feel almost as if I would just rather give the keys to the car to an ape. I mean, literally. And that scares me, that I would literally turn the keys of my automobile over to a chimp or a baboon. And that's when I know I need God.
Well, for you,
well, wait a minute.
Pastor,
wait a...
You shouldn't be feeling that low. You know, even though the devil oppresses you,
yes,
you make it sound like he took your soul, and you feel you're lower than a monkey. You know, that's what I heard from you when you was talking to the gentleman. I think his name is Arthur.
Yes, sir. That's true. Yes, I do. But I'm never so low. I never stay in that sub-8 category for long. I'm able to rise up and take God's hand again. You might say I'm not even dancing with the devil. I'm just dancing with the notion that I'd like to just give up on being human and let an ape call the shots in my life. That's low. Well,
you're laughing at me. Pastor, are scaring me. Yeah, I've been raised in church since I was 14 years old, and I've never heard a pastor talk as low as you have.
No, sir, are you saying that pastors don't get depressed? Of course they do. And as we know from the Bible, some of God's most beloved prophets were tempted by the demon, and the Lord himself was. But, and so I don't feel, sir, that that's so much the sin as it's giving into it, you see. There are days when I look at a chimp, and I think that chimp has everything I don't have. It's got it all. It's got it all and more.
Well, if you look at a chimp, are you saying, do you think the chimp has a soul?
There are some days I get so black in my own heart that I think that chimp is closer to Jesus than I am.
Wow.
Well,
that's just... Wow.
Mr. Phil, I'm not going to get into a religious argument with the pastor.
I don't want to argue. I'm just saying, sir. No, I don't want to argue. I'm saying there are days when I think that the monkey, that monkey has more of God going on than I ever will.
I used to be in the church. I haven't been in the church because of my job right now.
Okay.
But I don't that a monkey rules
so low that a monkey can rule over me and all that I am. And that an ape, I might as well give the Bible to him and let him do the homily.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're radio for patriots by patriots. We welcome you to our program here, and we also invite you to join us on our website, philhenryshow.com, where we have live streaming video of the show right now. Phil TV in HD, as a matter of fact. Hey, bud, where is it?
What?
Where's our title, man? Where's the... Wow, man. We lost our Phil TV title. I don't know what happened there, but... I see. In any event...
What happened?
Well, we usually have a little Phil TV graphic there, and it went away, but now it's back. Okay, so...
Where is it?
I fixed it already, okay?
Here, let me fix it.
You get away from there.
You already fixed it, man.
Anyway, welcome to our program, and as I said, we're on live streaming video right now, as well as all of our great affiliates across the country, and like that. 877-877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of things that we're going to deal with this evening. One of them is a vote that just was taken, I believe, in New York City, in the state of New York, not New York City, but... In the state of New York, having to do with gay marriage. It is passed in New York. We're going to talk about that with Doug Danger in just a moment. Then Chris Norton joins us, Chris Norton from Norton Splodes, and the issue of a website devoted to what he calls the M&M MILFs, double M MILFs, murdering mothers, I'd like to blank, and the entire issue around that regarding Casey Anthony. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And our affiliate spotlight tonight is on KPRC in Houston and WZFG Fargo, North Dakota. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Now, New York lawmakers narrowly voted to legalize same-sex marriage on Friday, handing activists a breakthrough victory in the state where the gay rights movement was born. New York's the nation's third most populous state joins Connecticut, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, Iowa, and the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., in legally recognizing gay marriage. Gay rights advocates are hoping the vote will galvanize the movement around the country and help it regain momentum after an almost identical bill was defeated in New York in 2009 and similar measures failed in 2010 in New Jersey and this year in Maryland and in Rhode Island. A bill like that, of course, passed in the state of California and then was automatically, not automatically, but was immediately challenged by a referendum voted on by the people of the state of California, making it unconstitutional. And that rolled that back and became a target of a great many court challenges. No one aid is still being challenged in the state of California, and it's anybody's guess at this particular time. A huge street party erupted, by the way, outside of the Stonewall Inn on Friday. That was where the initial, if you will, gay rights challenge to authority took place, the Stonewall Riots in the summer of 1969 in Greenwich Village, New York. Doug Danger joins us. Doug, you are a gay man and a gay journalist, and how are you feeling tonight?
Well, I think I think it's the beginning, Phil, and I think, as I've said on your program before, we've got a lot of work to do before we are able to push this rock over the top of the hill. New York is a big moment for gay people in this country. California would have been a big moment, but California backed off. California lost its nerve. You know, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and one of the things that I find that I one of the things I pride myself in is being able to see who's got it, who doesn't, who can stand there and test the winds, the storms of time, if you will, and who is going to hide from the from these winds of change. New York did not hide. New York took on the challenge. New York passed it. California folded like a, you know, to put it in the axiom of the old joke, folded up like a cheap Chinese suitcase. It was a disgrace, but New York has given us hope again, Phil, but we're going to need a little bit more. We're going to need a face. We're going to need a galvanizing point around which gay people around this country can rally.
Right. Well, here is New York State Senate. The New York State Senate stood on the right side of history, said Queens teacher Eugene Lovandusky, who is gay and said he hopes to marry someday. He repeated a chant he'd screamed during a protest at the Obama fundraiser, "I'm somebody, I deserve full equality." Cindy Lauper said, quote, "I've never been prouder to be a lifelong New Yorker than I am today with the passage of marriage equality." Cindy Lauper, the singer. A number of celebrities also praised the Senate vote. Lady Gaga tweeted that she couldn't stop crying, while Pink tweeted, "Congratulations, about time."
These are all, I think, great accolades coming from people who worked very, very hard, Phil. But I got together with Jim Rifko and a couple of other writers here on the West Coast, and we feel that while the Cindy Laupers of the world, the Lady Gagas of the world, and so on and so forth are good, we need a galvanizing image, and we need a galvanizing image that is going to be rock solid, that isn't going to go anywhere. We are very saddened, as you are, Phil, as many people are, to note the passing of the great, great star, Peter Falk.
Yes, yes, the Columbo.
Well, Columbo was just one of many things that Peter Falk did. Peter Falk was in Murder Incorporated. Peter Falk was in Pocket Full of Miracles. Peter Falk he had two Oscar nominations. He collected five Emmy Awards. Very, very thoughtful man. He also, later on in life, was a part of the John Cassavetes, franchise.
The John Cassavetes is considered to be the father of independent film.
Yes, he was in Shadows, he was in Husbands, and a Woman Under the Influence. So Peter Falk was very close with John Cassavetes, and he also did comedy. It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World. Peter Falk is the perfect person, I think, to use as a symbol of the fight for gay rights.
And was he gay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. Peter Falk was straight. But Peter Falk has now passed on. He has, if you will, he's fought his good fight. So Peter Falk is no more, and we can use Peter Falk's image, the name, and, of course, this body of great work that he did as a great artist, as a great actor, and as a man that was fearless in his own life, to push forward the gay message that we want gay equality. And
well, wait, I'm a little bit confused. You would use Peter Falk. He's not gay, okay?
No, Peter Falk was not gay. He was married. But he is now passed on. So you could, my feeling, talking to Jim Rifko and a few of the others, my feeling is you can reconstruct or repurpose Peter Falk's life in this sense that he is now a gay actor, and he is now the symbol of the gay movement. And
first of all, how do you do that without his family's consent?
Well, his family, I think, first of all, Phil, Peter Falk was very liberal. Peter Falk was very much a liberal artist. I don't see his family having a problem with that. But more to the point, even if they did, there is nothing illegal about being gay. So if we said that Peter Falk is gay, you're not going to sue me, because that's like saying Phil Hendry has brown eyes. Do you?
No, I don't.
No, you've got blue eyes.
Yes.
Well, it's not suable. It's not actionable. I haven't really hurt you by saying that you have brown eyes.
Yeah, but you could hurt Peter Falk. And
how can I hurt Peter Falk by saying he is something that is legal? If I said that he is something that is legal, gay, I can't hurt him. By definition, I can't hurt him. So,
all right, but would you attempt to get the family's approval?
Well, here's my thinking. Certainly, we would want the family to sign off on this, but that's not really the point. The point is Peter Falk is known to his friends and to his family as a straight man, but we would use Peter Falk as a gay man and a gay actor who fought tenaciously for gay rights, who, as a gay, was kept out of, and not as much as other gays were kept out of other professions because it was the acting profession, and it was already, in the words of so many that were opposed to us, it was already infested and crawling with gays. But to be a gay man and a gay actor, you'd never know it. You felt as alone as ever. I mean, the journalist business was probably crawling with gays. It stunk with gays. But I never knew it when I first got in because I felt I was the only gay. Oh, man, did I feel. I thought I was the only, excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but I felt I was the only queer writer within thousands of miles.
And so there was no real contact between gay writers. There's no real contact between gay actors at a particular point in time.
Yeah.
All right, I understand that, but I'm still wondering how you can take Peter Falk, who just passed on, who is beloved, his character Columbo, if nothing else, was so brilliantly done, like Leonard Nimoy's Spock, like, our good friend William Shatner's Captain Kirk, like Boris Karloff playing Frankenstein, like Bela Lugosi playing Dracula. There are actors who so fully create a character and so bring it to life so brilliantly that we never think of them as anything else. And that was Peter Falk.
Well, that was Peter Falk, exactly, Phil. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling you that Peter Falk has more work to do. Peter Falk is gay. He's a homosexual. He's not alive anymore, but when he lived, he was a homosexual actor. And he was a struggling homosexual, and really, I think, gave us so much to fight for through his leadership. Now,
yeah, but none of that's true.
I understand that none of it's true, but that's what we need to do now with Peter Falk, now that he is passed on. We take his image, we take his name, we thank his family very much, thank you very much, and we take it and we say, we take his image and we take his name and we put him up on that big billboard in Times Square and we say, Peter Falk, queer. And what are we doing? We're using him now.
People are going to be very angry. You can say what you want about the homophobia of this country. There, not everybody that is uncomfortable with what you're doing is a full-on homophobe. They might want gay marriage. They may be in favor of every kind of equality that you could possibly give to a gay person, but they may be very, very upset or put out with you taking Peter Falk's name and attaching to it, he was a homosexual.
We need a strong, you got to understand something, Phil. This is not something that, I don't think you understand. We need a strong leader. We need a strong image. We need a strong symbol to gather around. We don't have Harvey Milk anymore, okay? We don't have some of the great leaders anymore. All we can do now is take a big name, someone who doesn't need that name anymore, Peter Falk, and repurpose Peter Falk as gay. Repurpose Peter Falk as a homosexual who struggled all of his life and overcame those odds, and
repurpose.
Will you listen to me? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? And the things that I know and the things that I've seen would make you and many of your listeners vomit. All right, Phil?
I understand that, Doug.
Just hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and the things that I've had to go through, the things that I've seen, the discrimination I've faced, the brutality that I've seen against my community and against me personally, if you or any of your audience had to experience that, they would never stop throwing up. Okay? Peter Falk now belongs to the gay community.
And why is that?
Because, all right, I'll give you an answer. Because I said so. How does that...
Well, that's not how it works, okay? The guy has a name.
I know the guy has a name. I understand that he has a name. I'm not asking him to sell potato chips. I'm not asking Peter Falk to sell razor blades. I'm not asking Peter Falk to promote a political candidate. I'm asking Peter Falk, and I'm not even asking Peter Falk because he's dead. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm telling Peter Falk that from this point forward, we need him as the image of the gay community.
All right, how does this work out then? Peter Falk, a homosexual, wants us to...
Yes, Peter Falk, a gay actor, a gay man and a gay actor, wants us to pass gay marriage in this country. Peter Falk fought for this all of his life. Peter,
these are lies, Doug. These are lies. They are.
No, they are not lies. Why do you say they're lies?
Peter Falk never did that.
So in other words, you're saying he was against human rights.
No, he was not against human rights. Is what I knew of Peter Falk, he was not against human rights, of course. But he never... You don't know what he did.
And you don't know what he did. And to say that Peter Falk fought against discrimination, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. To say that Peter Falk was a homosexual who wanted equality in acting, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
How is that not a bad... Why is that a good thing?
Is it bad?
It's not true. It's not true.
Is it bad?
Is it bad to say that Peter Falk was a homosexual? In the minds of...
In your eyes, is that bad? But watch how you answer this. Watch it, man, because you could rip the lid right off of your egalitarian persona, Phil.
I would say that saying something about a man that isn't true is bad.
Boy, do you hate queer...
Hold on for a minute. I had to put him on hold there. I apologize, folks. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Doug Danger and others want to use Peter Falk as the new symbol of the gay community. He's dead. He passed on. He's no longer with us. He wouldn't mind being used as a symbol of the equality of gay people. And as Doug said, they want to, quote, repurpose Peter Falk's life so that he was a gay actor seeking equal rights, and he becomes the new symbol of the gay community. Is this fair? Even if it's not anything necessarily negative, can you do that with a man's name because he happens to be famous? 877-876-PHIL is our number, 877-876-7445. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the world-famous, and you're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, you can't believe what? We have Doug Danger on the line with us from the Orange County Courier. He's a writer, a gay man, and gay journalist, and the vote is in New York. The New York State Legislature has approved a bill that would legalize gay marriage. Now, who knows if they're in store for a constitutional challenge or a referendum challenge or something like that, Doug, but for now... For people who support the equal rights of gay people, it's good news.
Right. And Phil, I would say to your audience, you have always been one who claimed to support gay rights. And yet tonight you're giving me an argument. And
well, the argument I'm giving you is that you want to use Peter Falk as the face of gay rights in this country. And
I want to use a man who is a great artist, a great actor, a man who is, I think, well known as a liberal and a person who supported artistic rights and human rights. Yes, and say Peter Falk was gay. He had a gay lover. We can talk of any number of actors who'd be good that we are auditioning right now who can play the part of this gay, of a gay that he lived with. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been down a road that would make you vomit.
I already know your credentials of having been down the road, and things are really rough. I know that, Doug.
Well, don't minimize it by telling me I don't know what I'm talking about. And
I don't. When it comes to your life, you know everything. When it comes to Peter Falk's life, I'm just saying I don't know that you can just automatically say, "Okay, great, Peter Falk's dead. Now we'll use him as a symbol of gay rights."
Well, anybody who is a hardcore fan of Peter Falk knows that he's not gay. Anyone who's a fan of Peter Falk. We'll know, we'll think he was gay, but it won't matter. And
hardcore fan as opposed to a regular fan.
Exactly.
877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to a phone call. We have David You're on the Phil Henry Show. David, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm personally offended that this man would say something derogatory about Peter Falk.
That's not derogatory. That's not derogatory. There's nothing derogatory about a legal... No, it's not. It's a legal state. Being gay is legal. Can't be derogatory.
You can make up anything about anybody that's passed away, then. Why don't you
Can't. It's not only... No, you can't say that the guy was a child molester. That's illegal. Can't say he was a murderer. But I could say someone's a heterosexual. I could say someone's gay. I could say somebody had blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah, but why would you do that? The point that I'm saying is this. Don't you feel you need to just get someone's...
No, I wouldn't want to lie about it. I wouldn't use you, David, with all due respect, because nobody knows who you are. But I would use Peter Falk. Because people know him.
Well, that's glad. You know, some of us that maybe he was your role model should be Rock Hudson. Look what happened to him.
Rock Hudson. I'm not familiar with him.
He was an actor. He died of AIDS.
All right. So he died. All the better. I can't use him. I would rather use Peter Falk. And
well, this guy's saying something very intelligent. Why not use a gay man?
Who do you want me to? No gays have died lately. And by the way. Who says Peter Falk wasn't gay? Do you know that for a fact, David? No.
I know that he was married. Of course he was married.
There's a lot of gay guys that are married. Are you crazy? Come on, man. Wake up. Wake up, son.
All right, now, I don't want anything said on this show that you know for a fact Peter Falk was gay. Do you understand that?
Whoa, wait a minute, Sunshine.
No, don't call me Sunshine. Whether the man was or wasn't, we can sit here and talk about how you use that, but I don't want you saying you know for a fact. We'll be back with Phil Doug Danger. Henry. Phil Henry. 877.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We're broadcasting from the El Pacifico. In the background here on Phil TV, though, is the Earth Cam from Hollywood Boulevard. Seems like a regular night as the summer begins here out on the West Coast. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. With me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier talking about the vote in New York State today to legalize gay marriage. It is a very big moment. And I do congratulate the people that worked so hard, all gay people in New York and across the country, Doug.
Well, you know, that sounds real nice, Phil, but when you talk to me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yes.
Well, you know, your irritation at the fact that I'm gay...
I'm not irritated that you're gay. I'm talking to you about Peter Falk, the man who passed on yesterday from Alzheimer's, 83 years of age... An accomplished man. He had one hell of a career as an actor, and you've decided that you want to take his name and his image and turn him gay.
Right, and you're trying to say, you and other straights, don't make him into a gay. You're basically making him into some kind of a crawling animal. Okay? I got news for you, Phil.
I didn't say that. I'm just saying you're saying something that isn't true.
I'm saying something that is... It transcends truth. Peter Falk is strong. He's gay. All right, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. He's gay. So,
well, you can't just say that.
I'm saying it. Peter Falk is gay.
All right, I know he's not because I was a fan of his.
You're a super fan. I understand that. Most people were not. And if I say, you know, Peter Falk, the guy that was Columbo, they go, yeah. Excuse me for putting it this way, Phil, but queer is a $3 bill. And they will.
And you're going to get an actor to play his lover, and you're going to construct a whole phony life just so you can promote gay rights.
It is to promote equal rights and civil rights. I'm shocked. I'm surprised that you don't see it that way.
877-876-PHIL on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's go to Bob in Atlanta on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Bob. You're on with Doug Danger.
Hey, man. Hey, Phil. My first time listening. I like your
Thank you.
Like your show, bud.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the deal. You talk about Doug. You there, bud?
Bun?
You
yeah,
there?
I'm here. Yeah,
okay,
and this isn't the first time, and this is not the first time you listen to the show either. Go ahead.
No, it really is. But check it out, man.
Yeah, it really is. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. You know, you're awfully.
Are you gay? Let me ask you, are you gay?
I'm not, no. But listen, okay, you say that you want to resurrect this guy now that he's dead. All right, you can't just repurpose the guy's legacy that he's left behind. You know, you can't just tell a lie about who he was and that.
Let's go over to Kevin on the Phil Henry Show. Kevin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil. My biggest issue
yes, sir.
Is this. I've been in a journalism business for 20 years now, okay, up here in the Northeast. And you can't, and Doug, I know you're listening to me, you can't call yourself a journalist and throw out things that you are admitting you know are wrong and are lies just to advance an agenda. That's not
Well, I don't know that you're
journalism.
A journalist. I don't know you're a journalist. I don't know that you're a journalist, and I don't take advice from anonymous people to call talk shows. All right? I know what I do. I know what I do, and I know how I back up what I do. You can't tell me how to write, you know? I'm in the business, and there's number one my number one competition is you. I don't need your advice or how you might write a story so that you don't get the job. I get the job. And I get the job because I go about doing these things, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Okay?
That's
okay?
All good. Sure.
You know that? All right, good. So I get the job done, especially when it comes to a topic like this.
You said it every 10 seconds.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry you don't
know it.
But see, I'm out there. I'm out there doing it. I'm out there. I'm out there getting the story.
Life and legacy. I don't.
That's right.
First of all, I applaud New York State, and I, you know, we're from Massachusetts, first ones in the country to pass this law, and proud of it. You don't know if I'm gay or straight, and I'm not going to tell you I'm gay or straight. It doesn't matter. What matters is
I'm a gay man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Congratulations.
I'm a gay man and a gay. Okay,
here's
but what I'm saying is this. I know what I'm talking about, see? You don't.
No, that's not... that. You can't say that, Doug. You can't say that.
Why can't I say that?
You don't know me.
You're both writers. You're both journalists. You're both men who go and look for the story.
The job of a journalist is to find the truth in the story.
Okay,
and
fine, but do you say...
And you're admitting to telling a lie.
What I'm admitting to... No, I'm not. Am I on the radio right now telling you that Peter Falk, we're going to make him gay? Is that telling a lie, or is that telling you a strategy?
And then when Phil asks...
Is that telling you a lie, or is that telling you a strategy? I'm telling you a strategy.
Well, I don't know exactly what he was. I mean, we think he was straight, but we don't know that. But here's the thing. Phil says
oh,
to you,
no, now
lie.
We don't know.
Well, we don't. We don't. I wasn't
let me
his
ask
friend.
You something. If you
know.
Died, let me ask you something, Kevin. If you died,
because
and I said, now we're going to make Kevin head of the gay community. Kevin is now gay. What does that really hurt?
You know what? That may hurt a lot of people. It may hurt a little boy.
Aha! Uh-huh. So now you're saying being gay is negative.
No, I'm not. I'm telling
no,
you right now, Doug. Legal or not, it could hurt people.
Well, now I've heard it all. So all you guys, you and Kevin and everybody, being gay is fine. I'm for equal rights, but let's face it, being gay is bad. That's what you're saying.
No. Being gay is fine, but going out and picking somebody that you want to, anybody in the community, any star that you want to, and just saying as they are to advance your agenda, that's not journalism, and it's not right.
Why not? Well, I didn't say I was being a journalist. I said I was being an activist.
Well, which are you, a journalist or an activist?
You can't be both. You keep saying
I'm a gay man,
and I'm going to use this guy. Here you go. Say it again.
Wait a minute. I can't be both? Are you kidding me? I can't be both? What do you call Hunter Thompson? You don't think Hunter Thompson was an activist? You don't think that Norman Mailer? You don't think that Truman Capote?
Those guys weren't journalists in the sense that you guys are.
Hey, excuse me, Phil, if you don't mind. I'm talking to a fellow journalist, so if you could shut up.
If I could, I'm not going to shut up.
Phil, are you not a journalist?
I'm a talk show host, I would say.
He's not a journalist. He's a professional performer. He's a SEAL. A train
well,
seal.
I'll tell you what, Doug. You've crossed that line and become quite a performer tonight yourself, because what you're telling us is that you're putting out there this whole agenda, and you're telling us that we have to get behind it or else we are anti-gay. And you know what? That's not true. I'm not anti-gay.
Well, you know
I'm very proud of Massachusetts. I'm proud of New York State tonight. And here you are telling me that you're going to take somebody who has no say in the matter just because they died, and now you can use them, and you're going to advance your agenda with that. And then right after you say that, 10 seconds later, you're going to say, I'm a gay man and I'm a journalist.
I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I'm also a gay activist. I'm also somebody who knows when America is way behind the clock. We're way behind the ball on civil rights. Let's face it. We were way behind the ball on civil rights with black people. Now we're supposed to stand around and wait because Kevin wants to make sure that my credentials are in order. You want
to
make sure my papers are in order. Just like the guy with that funny-looking helmet and those lightning bolts on his collar.
You're looking at a dead actor and throwing them in my face and saying, you know, you've got to find this guy was a strong man and he was gay, even though we don't know that for a fact. And you're telling me that I have to find
your
agenda or else I'm anti-gay.
wait a minute. I'm sitting him on your face. So, see, that's you using a scurrilous anti-gay. And
he didn't say sitting him on your face.
Sitting. I didn't say sitting.
Whoa, my friend. Sitting. I heard you say you want to stick it in my face or something like that.
No, he did not. He said he was talking. He said as in your face, like in your face.
Yeah, like in your, like unzip him and shove him in your face.
No, he didn't say that.
No innuendo at all. What are you?
Well, you see, because what you're doing is you're saying you're for gay rights and you're for equal rights. I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing with Peter Falk. And by the way, here's a little queer joke for you. Wow.
No, he's not.
Come on.
No, he's not. I listened to what the man said. I think what we have here, Doug, and by the way, this has been a very spirited exchange between the two of you.
What's that supposed to mean? Like this guy's saying something? I'm a gay man and a gay activist. All right.
Oh, all of a sudden you're not a journalist.
Oh, and I know
Peter Falk. Peter Falk is gay, all right? And Peter Falk is going to be gay until such time as America remembers what its obligation is to people, all people, and that's equal rights. And until we have equal rights, guess what? I'll put Peter Falk in a brassiere.
Wow.
And what's Kevin going to do?
Boy, I'll tell you, and you would hurt his family.
Oh, boy, Henry, you're really showing your true colors. So if I got Peter Falk in a pair of panties, a brassiere, and a flimsy burnous, you'd say what?
Unless that's not a Photoshop picture, if that's a real picture of his life and what he did, then you are definitely doing something wrong, in my opinion. You can't do that to people.
Being gay is fine
and dandy, but now you're taking a guy. I mean, I have gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties. Are you kidding me?
You got gay friends who don't walk around in brassieres and panties in front of you.
Is that equal? I mean,
if I want to take Peter.
No, you're talking about.
Well, get a load of you now. Now, see, all of a sudden. Well, you're straight. You're straight, right? Do you let your wife work you with a.
All right, hold on. Kevin, I'll let you go, Kevin. I appreciate your call. Very, very good exchange, and I think you made some very good points. Our number 877-876-PHIL. I had to dump that, Doug.
Oh, you had to dump that? I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? The roads that I've come down.
I know, would make me throw up.
That's right. Make you throw up, it would have made Kevin break down and cry. Now, Peter Falk, I know Peter Falk was straight. I'm not saying that Peter Falk wasn't straight. But for the purposes of the gay community and fighting for the rights so that we are married and gay and all of that stuff, I don't personally give a damn because, as you know, Phil, on your program the other night, I said I was against gay marriage because I don't want straights to see that we're better at it than them, and then they turn around and we got a civil war at our hands. But if gay people in this country are dead set on getting gay rights and getting a gay marriage, okay, fine. Here's my idea. Take Peter Falk, his image, his name, his movies, everything, and put him to work. Take one of the tough guy actors of all time and make him a sissy. If it will help gay rights.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You just don't care. It sounds to me like you don't care. It sounds to me like you are essentially what you're saying is take Peter Falk, even if it means using this guy in any which way, no matter who is hurt.
Boy, you're just blah, 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 right? You know?
No, I'm getting to a point.
No, you're not. You're starting talking and
You know something, Doug? I got things to say, too, okay?
Well, then say it. You're like, well, the thing of the if I didn't know better, you're sitting there looking for a call.
I got calls.
I know, but you can't put it on the air because the guy was still screening it.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Lewis in Allentown, Pennsylvania. How you doing, Lewis? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't know who this Doug is. I just happened to be going through the radio stations and came up with it.
I'm Doug Danger, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
I'm just a normal gay man, and I just have an opinion. After I pass away, I don't want somebody calling me straight. It's not like it's an insult. It's just not who I was, and he wasn't. If you want an icon, pick a gay icon. There are plenty of actors that were. You want a rock solid icon? Pick Rock Hudson. But don't call somebody straight or not after they pass
away. No good.
Away.
Rock Hudson's AIDS. Okay. No good.
That's the way it goes. That's the roll of the dice, Doug. You know, some do, some don't. I mean, it happens. Pick somebody else.
We gotta use a guy that right now has got the zeitgeist. You know, we gotta use a guy that right now has got the heat. Peter Falk's the guy. We make him gay for a few months.
It is But it is a lie. I mean, he wasn't gay. Why say that?
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. What's the difference, really, between a gay and a straight? Other than sexual orientation? Nothing.
Probably about it. But that's a pretty big difference, I think.
Well, hold on. But you can't see that the way a man walks down the street. You can't see that in the eyes of a man. If I put Peter Falk out there and I go, see Peter Falk, Columbo, you know him? Yeah. Well, guess what? Gay. All right? Now people look at him and go, wow, Peter Falk was gay? Let's legalize gay marriage.
Are you kidding me? What makes you think that it's going to be that easy?
Excuse me, I'm talking to other gay men.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Why is that ridiculous? Why is that ridiculous? Why is that, if there's
just,
no difference...
Because it isn't true. It just is
I'm a gay man and a gay...
True.
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay? And
listen,
a gay activist.
Let me tell you... Oh, good, Doug, I want to tell you something. Really, I'm not into an exchange. This is a statement,
are you gay?
Okay? You are... Wait,
yep.
Let me speak. You are delusional, all right? You have already said you're a gay man, a gay journalist, about 15 times in the past 4 minutes. Even with the other call. Good for you! Get over it! It's not only who you are. You know, sometimes I think you forget the other things you are because you're so obsessed with that.
I know what I am. I know that I am the son.
That's right, but not
of Jim. I know I'm the son of Jim and Ellen Danger. I know who I am. I know my family. But as a gay man and as a gay journalist and as a gay activist, all right, I'm gay. You know that. And you know that, right?
Are you kidding?
You know, sir, Mr. Henry... You know, peel a straight person deep enough, you find a homophobe every time.
And that's me, huh?
I disagree
that's
with
right.
that. I absolutely disagree
that's,
with that. Absolutely disagree with that.
That's the
you
whole
know what,
show.
Doug? You better find yourself new friends, honestly, because you've been misled. You think you have to proclaim who you are by your sexuality only to get some kind of respect. And honestly, it's a dog and pony show. That's what it seems like to me.
When I'm out there in the straight world, and I gotta muscle my way to get my piece of the trough, I gotta tell them I'm gay. Now, what do you think of me? And if they look at
me
cross-eyed, you know,
yeah.
I'm out there in the straight world every day, and I get my piece of the trough, and I don't have to proclaim that. I don't proclaim that to anybody. There's sometimes I want to say it, and sometimes I don't. But I don't have to say that to get what's coming to me. All I have to be is a human being. It's as simple as that.
Let me give you an example. I walked into a 7-Eleven the other day, okay? And I said to the kid, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I want a pack of Marlboros. Now, what do you think he did? He gives me the eye roll like I'm some kind of a weird ass. That's
gay.
What I'm talking
about. I'm giving you the eye roll.
What is so funny, Mr. Straight?
Are you kidding me? You walked into a 7-Eleven.
Yes.
And you said, I'd like a pack of Marlboros. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to roll his eyeballs at you.
Yeah, well, guess what? He ain't going to be doing that much longer, because I grabbed him by the shirt and pinned him up against the cash register, and I said, I bet you think I'm a sissy. You want to test that thesis? He didn't want any part of it. Okay?
Well, you know what?
I'm fighting that fight.
Whoa, I have something to say in here, Doug. You're very insecure. You know, you're coming from very insecure. what's
something,
the problem?
Phil? Lewis, you got a straight guy now, and you're ganging up on a fellow gay. On one of your fellow gay. No.
Okay. I gotta.
Oh, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. You know, I hope you guys. Boy.
But, Doug, come on, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'd like a pack of Marlboros.
And the kid rolls his eyes at me? Mr. Homophobe.
I would have rolled my eyes at you, too. That's absolutely ridiculous to proclaim that in the store. I'll tell you what, they chatted about you after you left.
All right, listen, Lewis, thank you for your call. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I got to take a break. I apologize, Doug. I know he's going to be angry at me for just putting him on hold. We will be back as Doug Danger continues to insist that Peter Falk has passed on. What better person to use now as a symbol of the gay community? Peter Falk. He's now gay, had a lover. Doug has a whole, if you'll pardon the expression, backstory. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio.
Boy, for
Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And Clarence Clemens.
Clarence Clemens. All right, on the line is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier as we talk about the vote for gay marriage in New York State tonight, which approved gay marriage in New York State. And there has been a celebration there in the gay community, as there has been across the country. And I have been a supporter of the equal rights of gay people for as long as the debate's been going on. So I can tell you that myself, I'm very happy. And I would hope, Doug, that you would take that in the spirit that it's intended and not look suspiciously at me like I'm some kind of a straight guy who's trying to, get in on the coattails of something else.
Well, I mean, the thing that bothers me, Fillmore, I know that you're a fair-minded man, but I just said to you that we can use Clarence Clemens as a homosexual. And
okay, I mean, how many guys do you need?
That's what you said to me off the air. So, see, now you're really bothered by it because I'm using a black guy. It's not because he's black. It's because he's got a very visible image. He was a very strong, powerful image. Clarence Clemens and Peter Falk, two homosexuals that...
You can't... boy.
Yeah. There. See?
See what?
It bothers you that I'm using Clarence Clemens. Why is that?
Doug, it's the cumulative effect of you using Peter Falk, now Clarence Clemens. You could say, I'll tell you who else just died. James Arness. How about that?
No, you wouldn't. No one. James Arness is only known by old people. You wouldn't have used that. In fact, you would have used James Arness. You'd say, well, that's okay, because no one knows who he is.
Peter Falk, it was also known by an older generation of people. And yet, and still, I say it is his image, his name. Now you want to pile on with Clarence Clemens in an effort to somehow give the gay community a visible face, a powerful image to follow behind. Here is Chris in Los Angeles. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. I just wanted to...
Hi.
I wanted to ask your guests, why exactly he thinks we need this new gay icon?
Well, I think we need to push this over the top. I think we've had the fight in California. It has scared a lot of people. I think this fight still could loom in New York State because who knows what they've got, planning. And I think not only do we need Peter Falk, we do need Clarence Clemens. What do you think of that?
I think it's ridiculous. No,
Clarence Clemens?
You're saying that after all the fight and after all the progress that the gay community has made, you're saying now what we need is a gay community.
Yeah.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're happy to be with you every night here. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. And, of course, online at philhendryshow.com. Would you like your official Phil Hendry Show T-shirt for the summer? Well, you can get it over at our website. That's the Phil Hendry Show merchandise shop. We can also show you our shot glass and our coffee mug. We have our ball caps coming. We also have our Heritage Best Of CDs as well. People have asked us, are you going to be coming up with any other Best Of CDs? You betcha. So visit us over there at philhendryshow.com. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhendryshow.com, as I mentioned. Also, if you'd like to tweet us or tweeble us or Twitter us or whatever the hell, Bud, you're always doing that, right?
Yeah, you are too.
Well, I am, yeah. Go to twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's twitter.com/realphilhendry. And you, Bud, twitter.com what?
twitter.com/thebuddickman. Because there's fake ones.
Okay, because there's fake ones. All right. Bobby and Steve Dooley are joining us from Western Estates Homeowners Association this evening. A homeowners issue. And I've often heard of these coming up at gated communities, at some of these more exclusive communities. You live in a... I guess what we should say, what we should ask first, Bobby, is that you live in a very exclusive community. Isn't that true?
Well, it is true, Phil. We are not snobs by any stretch of the imagination. We live in a community. We have 150 homes. They are in different phases. The smallest homes we have are 3,500 to 4,000 square feet. We have townhomes that are along the front of the property, Most of our homes are between 5,000 and 7,000 square feet. They were selling new in the early part of the decade for anywhere from $700,000 all the way to $1 million. The upper-end homes are worth quite a bit more now. But, you know, the real estate market in California is such that I'm sure there's been some depreciation, and everyone is sort of waiting to see what happens.
But you've had a new homeowner?
Well, we have quite a few, yeah. But if you're referring to Dr. Barton, Crystal Barton moved in here in January. We were, as much as we honor her service to our country, and Steve was the first one, I think, to point that out, that she'd been...
Yes, better than Iraq.
Steve had told me she'd been in Iraq. She had been a mobile hospital surgeon for the Army.
Oh.
And
and she's disabled, right?
She lost her leg to...
An IED, improvised explosive device. They're very evil little bastards. They are roadside bombs and mines, yeah.
And that is a little bit of the problem. We honor her service to our country. We were very grateful to have Dr. Barton move in. I'm concerned that there has been... I'm a little concerned, to be honest with you. We have a certain image that we want to maintain. If Dr. Barton moves to the higher-end phase, right now she was in the townhomes that are off-property. If she moves into one of our homes, she will create, I think, a problem.
What problem? Is this? This has to do with her disability, with her being wearing a prosthetic leg?
Well, this is the problem, and Steve and I have both done research. I don't have anything against our veterans. I certainly don't have anything against our wounded veterans. What I do have a little bit of a problem with is this, the appearance of the, I don't know how else to say it, the appearance of what some people have described as a peg leg or a wooden leg.
Well, they're not wooden anymore.
I understand that that's what some people are saying.
I mean, it's not what some people are saying. They're not wooden anymore.
Yes, I understand that, Phil, but I think that there is a little...
You know, Mr. Andrew, the jury's out on a lot of this stuff. We don't want to see, here in Western States, home, like a wooden leg, a peg leg.
Okay, I can't hear your husband.
Let me do it. We have a lot of people here who are in the film business. We've got a lot of people that are in the magazine business, a lot of people in the newspaper business. If we get a... This is going to sound as if I don't care, and I do. We don't want a picture of Dr. Bart getting into West Ways or getting into L.A. Magazine or Westlake Magazine or...
You don't want a picture of Dr. Barton getting into L.A. Magazine or Westlake Magazine. Why?
Because of the wooden leg. The other problem...
But what can I tell you to convince you that there are no peg legs anymore?
I understand, Phil, that is one point of view. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's not one point of view. They don't fit people with peg legs anymore. They fit people with very sophisticated prosthetic legs.
Well, that's the other thing. A lot of them need to be oiled.
Well, yeah, Steve brought up a good point. A lot of them have problems. If we have in a magazine the picture of a person, God bless her, a veteran of our armed forces, and she is doing a hinge hitch, what we call a hinge hitch. If you've ever seen the hinge hitch, it's also called the hinge dip. And
What is that? I don't understand that.
Wait, walk, and then they'll dip down.
The hinge dip is when the hinge is loose on one of the prosthetic legs and they're walking at an irregular motion so that the right should say that the hinge dip, what's the...
Well, the hinge dip's the right leg. I'm talking about dip.
If the hinge is, the hinge that is not properly oiled or hasn't been properly fitted is on the right leg, there's going to be a left dip because they're compensating, knowing that hinge will not support the body.
Okay.
So they dip down with the left shoulder.
And it looked very erratic.
So there's an erratic way that they walk. Now, that is disquieting for some people to see that. It could very well get into a motion picture. We do an awful lot of commercials here.
Wait. All right, let's hold up for just a minute.
We do an awful lot of commercials here.
No, let's hold up for just a minute here. Dr. Crystal Barton is her name. Was she a veteran of what? She was in the Army. She was a doctor over there and a doctor here.
That's correct.
She was wounded by an IED. She lost her leg. She is now purchasing a home. She has not already purchased a home?
That is correct. No, she is right now in one of our townhomes in the process of purchasing.
Okay. So she purchases the home. What have you got to say about that?
Well, I have quite a bit to say about that.
Can you stop the sale?
I'm not exactly sure what you're asking me.
Can you stop the sale of this house to this woman, this Army veteran, this doctor who lost her leg?
Mr. Henry, no, we can't stop the sale. We're telling you the problem we have.
What we're saying, Phil, is this. Can we stop the sale? No, we can't. Did I come on your program tonight to appeal to you and to your listeners? Yes, I did. I don't know exactly what it is you're trying to say.
Well, I don't know what it is you're trying to say, Ms. Dooley. Do you want to keep this woman out?
We are asking that the Homeowners Association have the right to approve or disapprove based upon these three factors. There is the possibility of a wooden prosthetic. There's the possibility, if not that, of a hinge dip or hinge lick, as it's known. There is the possibility of lost revenue from commercial and movie producers because of Dr. Barton's presence on any film or commercial where the hinge lick is evident.
Well, all right. All of this stuff is all well and good, but if you can't keep this woman from buying this home, you're on my program for what?
Well, we're here, Phil, to marshal public opinion in our favor.
What am I thinking you want to do, Mr.
Let me do it, Steve, all right? We're here to marshal public opinion in our favor. We are here to appeal to your listeners, and I know there are a great many of them that have worked very hard in their homes, live in lovely communities, gated communities, communities where there is safety, and communities where there is desirability. And we are hoping to marshal public opinion so that we can bring this to our board meeting and say, I was on the Phil Henry show. We got this much support. We are asking Dr. Barton if she would not mind staying in the townhome area where she is not as evident.
How do you feel, if I could ask you this?
And one more thing. And then we'd be willing to revisit in 6 months.
Yeah, we'd be willing to revisit whether or not it's a kid's lick.
All right, let me ask you, and I can't understand what your husband just said. Let me ask you a question. How do you think this is going to be received? And how do you feel coming on my show and saying these things when you know that this is a veteran of Iraq who lost her leg in the service to this country, who was a surgeon in a hospital, a mobile hospital in Iraq with the Army, who's now back here as a surgeon working here in the United States, who is a hero to a great many of us, who is a veteran, who is one of our pride, one of our great veterans. How do you think this is received by my audience?
Well, I think that your audience has a tendency to be overwhelmed by your dramatics. And I am asking your audience tonight to please, please, see through the dramatics, see through Mr. Hendry's appeals, and listen to us as fellow homeowners.
But we're talking about a lady. I honor her.
That's another thing, Phil. Of course we honor Dr. Barton. I think it is I don't think it's very kind at all to say that we do not honor this woman. We're asking her to stay up front and out of view until we've got time to sit on this.
And give it a run at it.
You're asking her to stay up front in these townhouses where she's not seen.
That is correct, yes.
And why is she not allowed, one more time, I want you to say this, back in the million-dollar homes?
No one said she's not allowed.
No one said she's not allowed, Mr. Henry.
You're on my program appealing for public opinion to keep this woman from moving up there.
No one said she's not allowed. We would like her not to move there.
Yeah.
And why is that?
I told you, because
of a hinge lick.
I don't know what hinge lick is. I don't know what hinge dip is. I don't know what your fear... You seem to think that there is a wooden leg thing going on here.
Mr. Henry, we do not appreciate being spoken to like this.
I apologize, but you have used terms hinge lick. The woman's going to walk with a funny walk. You're afraid of a peg leg. I'm telling you they don't use wooden prosthetic legs.
And I am telling you that we don't know that for sure. And if we're listening late at night to a woman out walking because she can't sleep, because of the nightmares that come to her.
Yeah.
And all we hear is a woman going up and down the street with the constant clackety-clack.
All right, take a break here. 877-876-PHIL. Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Is this a valid argument? We do not want a veteran, a decorated veteran of the Iraq War, moving into the main area of our gated community because she may have a wooden leg, because she may have some funny walk with her prosthetic leg that could get into a movie or a commercial that they shoot there. They're asking for time to think about it, time to sit on it, time to weigh it. What are they weighing? Well, they're weighing their obvious, public relations slam they're going to take for keeping a veteran out of these homes. They're weighing that against their need not to have somebody with a peg leg walking around the streets there. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Thanks a lot.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And what is that? Okay, we're back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Bobby and Steve Dooley as we talk with them about this. What is that?
That is a recording. Okay, that was a recording taken about 2 weeks ago by Marge Emery, who is one of the longtime residents here. And it was a recording of Dr. Barton as she was actually bending over, I think, to get her newspaper.
Yes, she was trying to get her newspaper out of the front.
I didn't hear that. Say that again.
She was getting a newspaper. So if you listen to the sound, that is the hinge.
That, what I just heard there?
Yes, sir, yeah. Now, we're afraid that that's going to scare the hell out of me and my wife.
All right, 877, what was the other?
Well, the other was just this, this is tap dancing, all right. But that is what a person with a wooden leg can sound like, very similar to that, as they are walking across tile. They may be using our public shower here after the pool. And that, of course, brings up another issue.
Yeah, pool use.
Pool use, and... What do you do? What do you say if you see someone with a leg, you know? Someone with a leg that isn't theirs, yeah. And
someone with a leg that is a prosthetic leg.
Yes.
877-876-PHIL, Bobby and Steve Dooley from Western Estates Homeowners Association this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll take a phone call from Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bobby, I really wanted to speak on your ignorance in regards to mm-hmm. the lack of prosthetic technology.
Mm-hmm.
Prosthetics to this day can be ranging up to $50,000. I mean, I've spoke to a vet myself. He speaks how mm-hmm. his prosthetic is actually better than his personal leg he grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the clickety-clack.
What is the clicking? Is that clicking? What is this? What is that?
I have no idea.
Do you hear that?
That's you all doing that. The reality is, person with the prosthetic walking on the late night, as you say, from suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, would have on a pair of scissors, first of all. Why would they be out, you know, making such a racket to disturb you from your sleep? I mean, I would assume your neighborhood would be quiet. But then also, last time I checked, people are pirates. People are pirates with wood legs and, you know, peg legs.
Yes.
I mean,
there you go.
They make those things to be actually, you know, sound efficient, you know, actual parts of, you know, society, not a eyesore. And as far as someone with a limp or something like that, that sounds like complete ignorance to speak on someone or to
no, talk about a hinge lick, sir.
Hold on. I want to ask a question of Richard. Richard, it's Phil. Yes, I want to ask you a question, sir.
Yes, sir.
They don't put peg legs on people anymore, do they?
They do that. And, I mean, for them to even think like that, that's so like, I mean,
yeah,
the 70s or something, Phil. I mean, it's insulting.
Yeah.
That they would actually think that people would actually walk out here with a peg leg that's actually made of wood. How would that even be sustainable in this day and age?
Well, first of all, people cannot afford. You said that they're very expensive. So a peg leg is affordable.
It's not about the average American, ma'am. It's about a veteran of our United States of America. It's about a person that's going to be funded from America. It's not a person that's out here with no insurance, just fighting just to survive, such as myself. Now, this is someone that her financial income, being a doctor, would be more than affording her better leg or a better quality of life than a wooden leg. I mean, listen to yourself.
Exactly. That was my point.
Walking around in a third world country, ma'am.
Well, that was my point. I couldn't understand, if she's a doctor, why she couldn't afford something better than a peg leg.
Why would she have a wooden leg, ma'am? That's the point we're all making to you.
That's what I don't understand.
It does not exist, ma'am. And as far as her having a limp and bringing down the property value, I think her being a veteran and actually having a story to tell and being a real resident would actually bring value to your residency as opposed to bringing it down. The reality is she's someone else's story as opposed to yourself. You've been sitting at home, sitting back, criticizing and isolating people and obviously being a stereotype. And, I mean, I hate to say it, I don't know her race, and I would not even bring race into it. The reality is people like really hold us back as a society moving forward. And I mean, it's my first time ever calling in, but honestly, when you listen to yourself and your husband in the back, do you really believe what you're saying? A wooden leg.
Well, I don't know.
It's a late night, and no, it's not. Mm-hmm. You don't know. You truly do know this. We're not speaking to a child, ma'am. We're all adults here. This is the this is 2011. I mean, we're moving the cars with electric. 40 gallons long story short, technology is a lot.
I don't know, but the peg leg is what I worry about. I only worry about that.
This is
the way it would keep me awake.
It's not the 60s. It would not keep you awake, ma'am. I mean, the woman would obviously be walking her dog. I mean, if she's walking her dog in the late night, you would not notice her being out there. The reality, she's going to walk.
There's no creaking. There's no creaking noise.
All right, listen, I appreciate your effort here, but we do have to take a break, Richard. You're a good man. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Did you hear what the man said?
He's giving his opinion, Phil, and I think there's a lot more to it than that.
I don't know, but he didn't say anything about the hitch.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, The Hitch.
Phil Henry.
It's called Hinge Lick.
Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. We're talking about a veteran that has purchased a home. Ms. Dooley, you haven't really told me whether this woman has Dr. Barton, Crystal Barton. She's a veteran of the United States Army. She was wounded in Iraq. She lost her leg. She has a prosthetic leg. You and your husband don't seem to have done enough research because...
we have done an awful lot of research.
Yeah, I think that's very unfair, Ms. Dooley.
Well, you don't know whether or not the woman's... You don't even know what kind of prosthetic leg she has. The question I've got... Hold on for just a minute. The question I've got is, when is she moving in?
Well, Phil, if we...
You have anything to say about it.
Oh, if you have anything to say about it, she won't move in. That's right. I forgot.
No, that is not true, Phil, and I want to say something right now. I feel very used. No one respects our veterans more than me. No one. There isn't anyone listening to your radio broadcast now that respects our veterans more deeply, that honors them more deeply, that...
Ms. Dooley...
Hold on, please. That honors them more deeply than I do. We are simply asking for some breathing room.
We all... Just time. That's all we need is time.
Just time. 6 months for us to catch our breath, to understand what this means. What are we up against?
What? I don't understand what your confusion is. She's a veteran. She has a prosthetic leg. You seem to think she's going to be in there with a peg leg.
Would you please? These are actual recordings, Phil, of the woman bending over. Now you can hear...
Right now, that's hinge lick.
You can hear the hinge lick there.
I don't know what hinge lick is. If you say that's a woman bending over to get a newspaper, that sounds very suspect to me. I have to be honest with you.
We're asking for time. Just time.
877-876-PHIL. You would think that you are confronted with, I don't know, foreclosure or something, the way you guys are making an issue out of this. Melinda in San Antonio, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. This is out-and-out discrimination. Mm-hmm. As a parent of two children who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and thank God came home in one piece, this is out-and-out discrimination. I'm sorry. How it would even be allowed to happen, because you are governed by rules and regulations just like everyone else, and you are discriminating against someone with a handicap.
Not really.
How do you say that you're not discriminating, Ms. Dooley?
We are simply asking for time so that we can analyze what happens. Do you know what happens when someone with a peg leg walks down the street?
It shouldn't matter. She didn't ask for time when they asked her to go serve her country and defend your freedom and your right.
I don't know that.
In this homeowners association.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't ask
but my
for
point...
time. She went and she served her country, and she was injured in the process of serving her country. This is discrimination. You are discriminating against someone with a handicap.
We're not discriminating because we haven't said no yet. We are simply trying to balance
you don't have
away
the, right
the
to
issue.
Say no. You do not have the right to say no.
We are on the program tonight to get public opinion marshaled in our support, and we're asking you, Melinda,
well, you're not
if you will
support,
join us.
Believe me, not if, with going against someone who's handicapped because they served our country.
We're not going
we're
against
not
the handicap.
Get support
we're just
for
saying,
that.
We're not going against the handicap. We're just saying what happens when they when, if it's a wooden leg.
If you
it
can
shouldn't
give
matter.
Us information.
It shouldn't matter if but she had
if
she wouldn't even
awake,
get the prosthetic and she's walking on crutches. It shouldn't matter. This is discrimination.
It's keeping me up at night.
Wait a minute. What is keeping you up at night?
Oh, my God. The sound of the wooden leg on the asphalt.
Yeah. And so this lady, if she keeps awake.
And we're trying to weigh that. The fact that this hinge lick or hinge dip.
I don't know anything about hinge dip. You're saying that the hinge gets rusty?
Or loose.
And then they walk kind of funny. That keeps the TV production out of the area.
Well, I think that the lady is right. It is discrimination.
No, it is not. Technically, it's not. Because it can only be discrimination if they're black or if they are Hispanic.
Oh, I beg you.
Technically,
ma'am.
You cannot discriminate against some... I beg your pardon. Well, you don't know the law. The law says...
I'm afraid I do. And when it comes
are you
to...
Mexican?
Are you
Mexican? Are you Mexican?
Me?
Are you a Mexican? Because that's the only way you'd know.
Yeah, that's because of the race.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Henry, the only way you can discriminate against someone is if they're Mexican, black, what else, Steve?
Asian.
That's it. So I think this lady is going to have a lot to.
No, you can. There is a People with Disabilities Act.
People with disabilities.
There is a Disabilities Act in this country that was passed that means people with disabilities are afforded equal treatment. We're supposed to have handicap rails. We're supposed to have handicap bathrooms. We're supposed to make things accessible to the handicap, and you cannot discriminate against them on the basis of their handicap in employment, in most employment.
Oh, I see. So someone with no hands you'll hire to be a test driver? Yeah, right.
All right, Melissa, I'll take, or Melinda, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. I'll take it from here.
Yeah, you can't answer that question.
Can't answer what question?
If someone with no hands, are you going to hire that person as a juggler, yes or no?
Miss Dooley, don't be an ass, all right?
You call my wife an ass?
I'm not being an ass. I'm giving you a very basic question.
The basic question, yeah, I might hire him as a juggler.
Oh, my God. Now, how are you going to get a guy with a head? How do you hire a guy with... I'm laughing.
I'll tell you how you hire a guy with no hands to be a juggler. We have prosthetic limbs now, Ms. Dooley. You have been wanting to play this tune here about the fact that we've got wooden legs, we got rusty hinged legs, we got people walking with a dip, we got all kinds of stuff. A guy with no hands can juggle if he has prosthetic limbs, prosthetic hands.
Did you see that movie the other night, Best Years of Our Life? That had a veteran in it, and he had hooks. How's a guy like that going to juggle?
Where's a guy like that going to get... I mean, what's he going to juggle, eggs? Or billiard balls?
That guy, that was from the 40s. That was a man suffering... That man came back from World War II, and the only thing they had were hooks. But for you guys to keep this woman out of a homeowners association or out of her home... is just abject cruelty. Abject cruelty. And for you to pretend like you don't even understand what it is we're talking about, we've told you there's no wooden legs. We've told you that there are no limbs that are, you know, that are anything other than entirely workable, that are improving with every year. And this is a veteran. And don't sit there and tell me that you respect our veterans when you want to keep this lady out.
Phil... I can only say one thing. We have had, over the last 10 years, in our homeowners association, we've been honored to have the Warren Jeff Fertilizer Company use much of the greenery as a backdrop for their commercials. We have had some fast food restaurants that have filmed commercials here. We have had automobile. All of this is at risk. If in the backdrop of the commercial, a woman is limping, and...
Why would you think that they would have that in the commercial?
We're out of continuity if you don't do it right.
A lot of times that stuff gets in. And
they're not going to have anybody limping in the background of the commercial for a car company. Anyway, thank you very much and good luck. Man.
Well, she got a point about somebody limping a commercial.
She ain't got no point. 877-876 Phil, we'll be back here. The world famous, thank you, Bobby and Steve Dooley. We'll be back, Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL is the number. Now, you guys say you've got him on the line.
Well, I said he's near the Bob Bakian.
I know it's Bob Bakian. Is he at Herman Cain's residence, or where is he?
No, all I know, he said it was someplace near where Herman Cain was, and there might be the lady with him.
There might be the lady with him. Get him on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bob.
Bob Bakian reporting. So we are hold on for just a minute. I don't hear the music.
I don't have the eyewitness music is not playing because I wanted to get some information.
Well, what information? You know, Phil, if I'm going to go on the air, I've got to have the eyewitness music playing so that I can give you the report. Otherwise, I can't. This is Bob Bakian reporting.
What did he do?
Hung up.
Get him back on the line. What's this bull crap? He's got to have the music playing.
He won't do his report unless he's got the news music.
That sounds like so much horse dung.
Bob, yeah, I got to put you on. Mr. Henry said, I know Mr. Henry said got to be on the thing.
Bob Bakian here, Phil. And I don't hear the music, so I'm...
What is he doing? He's just hanging up?
Yeah, I guess he hang up. Hold on for a minute. Hey, Bob, you're not on the air. Hold on. Are you going to better put a music on? What? What? Oh, yeah? Yeah, I seen that. Well, no, we're going to go to D.C. Will you hold on for a minute and get him on the line? Wait a minute. Phil wants to talk to you.
Bob Bakian, Phil.
Hey, listen, can I ask you a question?
Not without the music.
All right, well, put his freaking music on then.
You going to let that guy tell you what to do?
Yes, I'm going to let him tell me what to do. Put it on there, will you? Thank you. God. Bob, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. This is Bob Binkin reporting here from the site of an alleged sighting between Herman Cain and a woman that he supposedly is having an affair with the last 13 years. We haven't seen any such sighting so far, but he is inside having dinner with a woman that is not his wife. We don't know who that could be. It could be Candy Ellison as his campaign manager. It could be one of the people that... Okay, there's no music. There's no music. No music.
Why'd the music turn off?
What? I thought...
Don't think. Just keep the music on so this jackass will give me the rest of the report. Now you got to call him back, right?
Yeah. Done one of those radio phones, too, because it's kind of tough.
Well, that's great. So when you hang up on the guy...
I didn't hang up. Bob, here, listen. Is that okay? Is that good? All right.
All right, anyway, Bob Binkin reporting here. And again, Phil, we did see Herman Cain as he was entering the restaurant.
Bob, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead, Phil.
By the way, what was that?
When I hear the music, I feel as if I'm in my safe place.
Okay. Herman Cain, you said, was in the restaurant with a woman that you said might be his campaign manager and might not. Is he there?
No.
Why?
The music ran out.
If the music runs out, hit it again. I can't believe I got a freaking moron like that that's got to have his music playing. If the music runs out, hit it again, bud, okay?
All right, you want me to play it now?
You might as well have it rolling so that it'll be there so he'll feel comfortable. Yeah.
Bob. Yeah, Bob, here it is.
Oh, thank God. This is Bob Binkin reporting. So what was your question, Phil?
Is Herman Cain, is he the woman that he was with? Not his wife, but not necessarily a girlfriend?
That is correct, Phil. From what we understand, Herman Cain could very well have been at dinner this evening with one of his campaign aides, Candy Ellison, who's been with him for quite some time. However, it could have been this woman that he's trying to get together with. And turn the music off because I don't want to be on the air.
What happened?
You got to know. I think he lost his place.
Yeah, I got embarrassed, so he just won't be on.
That's the last time I used that guy, okay? You know?
But he's got really good information and everything.
Oh, sure he does. He's got really good information so long as there's music playing. No, man. I can't play that. That's too weird. Way too weird. Don't tell me.
Yeah, Bob, just one more time. One more time. Yeah, but just do it one more time. Yeah, Mr. Henry's here. Yeah, but just do it one more time. Just one more time. See? I got the music. Ain't that the music what you want to hear? Okay. And go!
This is Bob Binkin reporting here from the Traffic Mobile 5 as Herman Cain was seen going into a restaurant with a woman that may not be his wife. Yes, it may not be his wife, but then again, it might not be any big deal at all because it could be someone that works for his campaign staff. It could very well be a campaign staffer that he's simply taking out to dinner. It could be a man, for all we know. It could be a man in a dress. We haven't really looked at that. Herman Cain could be going out with a man wearing a skirt. So we have no real idea as to whether or not Herman Cain at this time is being unfaithful to his wife or he's simply being unfaithful to his own sexual orientation and trying something different. Then Bob Binkin reporting. That feels so good, that music.
So Herman Cain the cat's got some problems. What can I tell you? But making good pizza ain't one of them, because I'll tell you right now, I'm about to get myself a slice right now.
Yeah, Godfather pizza's good.
I don't know. I've never had it.
Phil Henry Show. And now it's time for Skippy and Frank. Skippy and Frank, the bad boys of morning radio.
covering the entire East Valley drainage area. Harrington, Nebraska's own Skippy and Frank. Coming up, Bud Hall with traffic and the Skippy and Frank Burka contest. Now, Skippy and Frank.
All right, about 20 minutes after the hour, Planet F20 here, and this is Skippy and Frank. I'm Skippy.
And I'm Frank.
And welcome to the program. Boy, I'll tell you, what a weekend we had at the stock car. We had a demolition derby outside site. Really loved that lot.
Yeah, the demolition derby. Anyway, those guys are ramming into each other.
But at the demolition derby, those guys are doing the cars are ramming into a guy. I'd love to be able to do that in real life, would you?
I'd love to do that.
I tell you, I'd love to do that in real life, just ram a car in a guy's head. I'd take, like, the general manager of this radio station, this cheap, stinking, rotten radio station we work for, and they don't even pay us enough money. I'd love to take a demolition derby and ram it right in a guy's head.
Yeah, we're going to call up the general manager and find out about it.
We're going to call up our general manager, Rick Ronchello, and we're going to find out what he think about if we ran a car into his head. That'd be so funny. Skippy and Frank here anyway. Our time now, about 25 after the hour, 11:25. Hey, what's up?
Frank, what's up? Are you guys still doing that burger contest, or do I just do that?
Yeah, we're going to do the burger contest in a few minutes.
Okay, because I'm going to go down and I want to win our Xbox.
Right. If you missed our burka contest, basically what we want you to do is get a burka and strap something on that looks like a bomb and walk down a street and see if you can draw a fire, you know, a gunshot. We don't want you to get hurt or nothing.
Yeah, we don't want you to get hurt, but, you know.
I'm going to go over here to Commander Bud Hall, see what off the traffic. Commander Bud Hall, traffic. Commander Bud Hall, what's going on?
Hey, Skippy and Frank, right now out here at the Sunrise Freeway, it's looking pretty good. No real cars or anything. We've got a couple of cars on the side of the road, but this is Harrington, Nebraska, so there is no real traffic. In fact, there is no traffic at all, just one guy in a tractor. That's right, one guy in a tractor. I think he's 14 years of age, and I doubt very much if he has a license. This is Commander Butthole, Skippy and Frank.
Yeah, I like Commander Butthole. We call him Commander Butthole. You don't like that. Get back there. Hey, Commander Butthole. Commander Butthole.
Yeah, yeah.
Commander Butthole. Hey, Commander Butthole, you said you saw a tractor?
My name is Butthole, and...
Yeah, sure, okay, whatever. All right, let's see what we're going to do here. Let's call up Rick Ronchello, is the general manager here of the radio station we're working at. We don't even want to say the name of the radio station.
No, we don't want to say the name of the radio station. They're so cheap, they don't even pay us really good money.
Until they start paying us the money, let's get them on the line right now. Got them on the line?
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Skippy and Frank. Yeah, how you doing, Rick?
Hey, Rick, it's Rick.
Yeah, how you doing, good?
Can we wake you up?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, when are you going to stop being such a cheap bum, a cheap creep, and a real slob, and pay us the money we're worth? Hey, Rick. He hung up.
Hey, hung up.
That's what I call comedy. Man, that is comedy. He hung up on us. That is comedy. All right, let's get on the line here, and we got Eddie, are you in the burka?
Skippy and Frank, I'm in a burka right now. I'm walking down Harrington, on the main street of Harrington. And I hope I don't know what's going to happen to me or anything, but I hope that people don't shoot me or anything like that.
Okay, well, you're in a burka. Do you look like you're wearing a bomb?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. I got a bomb on right now. Oh, here comes a cop.
You all right? You all right?
I think you got shot.
Oh, that is so awesome. The dude got shot. The dude got shot. Are you ready for that? So the dude got shot. And, that is so bitching. So the dude got shot, so we can't give him the Xbox because he's dead. Skippy, Frank, you're out of here.
Come on.
Yeah, Skippy, this is Rick Ronchello. You woke me up a minute ago.
Yeah, what's up?
Come on. You guys are fired, and you're fired, and you had a listener killed. Do you understand what you've done?
Yeah, but sure, Rick. Okay, Rick, listen, leave the comedy to us, okay?
Yeah, Rick, let's leave the comedy to us.
No, this is not a joke. You're both fired. You had a listener killed, and you woke me up and called me a douchebag on the air, didn't you?
Yeah, okay, Rick, nice job. Great talking to you, okay? Well, let's have breakfast, because we really are serious about the raise. We really do think we deserve more money. This cheap, dirty, crappy operation.
And you're fired. You're fired.